Here we go. All right, we're playing.
We are playing.
Hello, and welcome to Rotten Commentatoes, episode
6,
Thor Ragnarok. I'm your host, Keegan Robertson, joined as always by my co-host, Darren Morty Mortimer.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, that's when you say hello.
That's when I say hello.
This movie was fucking amazing. Spoiler alert. If you only need to get 30 seconds into this thing, you're like, I was wondering if I should go see this fucking movie. Go now. Turn off the podcast. Go watch it. Even if this is 4 years later and you own this movie, go watch it right now. Turn us off and go watch it and then come back. We'll wait.
We'll be here.
Should we wait 2 hours till they?
I think it's 2 hours and 10 minutes, but yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Okay. How's your day?
It was pretty good. It's pretty good. I had a nice bacon and cheese sandwich and some chicken soup.
That sounds like an old person's day.
Hey, you know what? That was a small portion of my day.
Hey, all right. If that was the highlight that you first wanted to bring to my attention, I don't want to hear the rest. So anyway, we get through 40 seconds of logos, and we see Thor of Thor fame hung up in this cage, and he's talking to a skeleton, basically giving us the rundown of where he's been for the last little bit. So he's looking for Infinity Stones. Then now he has to stop Ragnarok. There's a big flamey dude. He gets dropped out of this cage down on a chain, and the big flamey dude doing the classic villain, like, oh, I'm going to start Ragnarok, and like, you're pretty much fucked, Thor. And Thor's all like, hey, syphilis. I think because the guy's name starts with an S or whatever. He's like, hey, how about I just whoop your fucking ass? And I didn't know how this movie would start, because I kind of knew the plot synopsis. I've read little bits of Planet Hulk and some of the Thor the Unworthy series, which is kind of what this is based off of. And I was like, I wonder how they're going to break this down. And I fucking knew this was going to be an amazing movie. As soon as he says basically that he's going to kick the big demon red guy's ass, they start in with Led Zeppelin's Immigrant Song.
So good.
And it's so perfectly cued. Like, Thor is fighting off 500 guys, just shooting lightning everywhere, being a complete fucking badass. But along with this song that's about Valhalla and Viking Norse mythology, it was just, I had fucking goosebumps, man. And like, I don't get that shit for movies.
No, it was a really, really well done scene. It was hilarious, too. Like the joke about his crown. Like, oh, I thought it was a giant eyebrow. No, it's a crown.
Yeah, and he's spinning on the chain the whole time they're talking. Taika Waititi directed this, and he kind of cut his teeth on Hunt for the Wilder People and What We Do in the Shadows, which is two New Zealand comedies that he was involved in. And just
What We Do in the Shadows, so good.
Yeah, and it was like a cast of like 9 people. The guy... that much funny in a movie where the budget was probably like $100,000 or something ridiculous. Like, it could have been done for that. Yeah. It was really cool. And I think that he taking his grounding and like the amount of New Zealand actors, New Zealander actors. I don't know what they call themselves.
Kiwis.
The amount of Kiwis in this movie is staggering when you think about it. And they're just thrown in there like it's normal. Like the giant rock guy.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Korg, I think his name was Korg.
Statting.
Yeah.
No, yeah, but he's a Kiwi.
As long as the foundation's good, you should be fine. You'll be able to rebuild it. It'll be a haven for all aliens and all species.
Oh, no, that foundation's gone. No,
that foundation's gone. So good.
Yeah, so I think what Taika does, I hope I'm saying that right, is that he brings a lot of heart to the characters. So when they gave him the movie, I think they got the best of both worlds because he was able to handle the amount of cash being thrown at him and the caliber of actors being thrown at him.
Yeah.
And he really made the humor for us. Like when we walked out of the theater, you turned and said to me, you're like, that was a comedy movie before it was a superhero movie.
Yeah. Comedy first, comic book second, for sure. And it's like, it's funny right off the bat.
And it doesn't fucking stop, man. Like, just the amount of laughs that you get in this movie are so perfect.
And a lot of action movies and superhero movies, their attempt at humor is so bad and so cheesy, and it usually is a disservice to the rest of the film. They usually spoil the atmosphere that they've worked so hard to build. But this movie is funny throughout pretty much the entire thing, and it's also good humor. It's good comedy. It's not bad, cheesy, one-liner kind of deal that you get in a lot of other films. Like Transformers 2, for example, is a good example of just terrible, terrible attempt at jokes.
Yes. Yes. That the fellow that's got the conspiracy theories, I can't remember his name. You know, they got the black hair and he's got like an accent.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that guy fucking has ruined every Transformers movie he's been in since. He's a good actor, too. They make him be super like, hey, cram a shitload of jokes into everything that you say.
Thank Michael Bay for that one.
Michael Bay's a cocksucker. Anyway, so Thor gets back from preventing Ragnarok, which is a huge fucking deal, by the way, in Norse mythology. It's like the end of the world. It's the apocalypse. So Thor stopped Ragnarok in the first 5 seconds of the movie titled Thor Ragnarok. Just nonchalantly.
I love that like subversion of expectation.
Yeah. And he goes back to Asgard, and Loki is posing as the dad, which we already know from the second movie. But we come back, and he's putting on plays about Loki's grand sacrifice, and Sam Neill is acting in them. That Sam Neill is the guy from Jurassic Park. Like he's got Matt Damon is playing Loki. It's so lavish.
So good. I love the Matt. I love the Matt Damon cameo in that.
It looks so bad in that pale skin and black hair as Loki. Yeah,
that's hilarious. I love that. And then yeah, Sam Neill as well. And Odin is not at all acting like Odin. He's acting so pompous and full of himself, eating grapes with all these women around him while he watches this bullshit play.
Yeah. And Thor starts pacing around like a fucking jungle cat being like, oh yeah, what are you doing, man? He's like flexing and walking up close to him. He starts spinning the hammer and shit. And you know that he knows that it's Loki, and
yeah,
he basically threatens to kill him. And Loki's like, gives it up. He stops pretending to be Odin.
Good old Loki, god of tricks and mischief.
Yeah. The amount of jokes, like, we just went through, what, like, 10 minutes of the movie?
Yeah.
The amount of shit going on. You have cameos by Matt Damon. Like, it's humor on humor on humor on humor. Anthony Hopkins pretending not to be Odin. Anthony Hopkins pretending to be Loki, yeah, pretending to be himself. On top of the fucking cameos in the stupid goddamn play.
And that whole scene with the dragon head and Scourge trying to impress the girls.
Yeah, everything is so fucking funny constantly. But at the same time, like, it's badass. So you get to see badass action scenes. Thor fucking destroys, like, 500 people. He kills a dragon. But the whole time, you're, like, laughing. It was a really weird take on it, but I thought it was amazing. Like, I really hope that they keep Waititi on for future films. I was so excited.
Oh, yeah, and then definitely. I think they will. I think if they don't, that's a huge mistake.
So Thor goes on to, he's like, all right, Loki, well, we got to go get Dad, you dick. So they go to New York, and he's not there, and they see Doctor Strange, and there's a Sherlock Holmes reference, but that's about it in the movie. When they actually tagged this in 2016, they said that Doctor Strange was going to be like a big factor in the whole thing, but I guess he just got... just knocked out of it.
Yeah.
But so they go find out that Odin's in Norway, and they go to see him, and Odin's like, yeah, I'm dying, and the goddess of death is coming, and you're all pretty much screwed. Sorry, I gotta leave. Bye.
See ya, bye. And disintegrates into some glowing embers. Good luck, guys. You're on your own. See you later.
Yeah. And that was a big tonal shift, too. I found this movie was really strange in like its scene to scene changes. It had a lot of very sudden, you know, like they have dissolves and shifts and stuff to bring you to the next scene in the movie, right? These ones felt, the pacing felt kind of weird because you would go from like such funny things to a serious moment and then back to funny, and you'd be following different characters throughout the story. But at the same time, like, it didn't piss me off or anything. It was just, I feel like I saw a very different way to make a film in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
It fucking rocked.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's pulling off something pretty interesting with those tonal shifts, because he jumps from comedy to seriousness in like a blink.
Yeah.
And then goes right back to comedy again. And it works. It doesn't.
I think because everybody sells it so well. Everybody was on the ball. Mm-hmm. All right, we need you to be able to murder 100 people as the goddess of death, but also like Thor's going to sling you a one-liner and you're going to eat it up, okay? So Hela comes into the picture. It's Kate Blanchett? Is that?
Yeah.
She was looking good in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
It was, I didn't like how much I liked the whole crown thing, etc. Something about like how scary and strong she was. It was just like, wow.
Yeah, well, the way she just destroys Thor's hammer, you immediately realize that you're fucking with some serious shit here.
Yeah, because Thor's hammer, like, he drops it on the dragon in the first fight scene, and like it fucks up a, you know, 100,000-pound space dragon. And then Hela just grabs it. And
the dragon can't stand up because it's weighing his head down.
Yeah. Hela just busts it open for a joke.
With one hand.
And Loki tells... So the way that Asgardians get around is they have like a guy who watches out from Asgard and kind of teleports them up, like Beam Me Up Scotty style. And Loki's a little idiot, and he's like, oh shit, she broke Thor's hammer. I'll get the fuck out of here. Take us home! And so they get ported up, and that's how she gets to Asgard, is she follows their trail there, and she kind of punches them both out of the little teleporter thing.
Knocks them out of the like slipstream. Yeah.
And this is where we get into the really cool part of the film, and that's like the junk world.
Junk planet. It's cyberpunk Marvel.
Marvel.
That's what it is. It's Marvel. It's fantasy cyberpunk. It's great. I love it.
Oh, and that's a talking about the tonal shifts. The settings that they have to pull off. You take Thor and you take the Norse mythology, and you got the hammers and the armor and all that bullshit, and then they got a little bit of space age stuff. That's
gods.
Yeah, and you take gods, and then you put these ancient gods in space in like a sci-fi movie all of a sudden. It's like they made a fucking ice cream soup out of this goddamn movie. Like there's so many tonal and color shifts, but it all works. I don't know how. I don't know how, but this movie just is fucking wicked in the fact that they pulled it off. And I wish I was smart enough to quantify. Oh, yeah.
It's a total feat for Waititi here.
Because you could easily, like, this could easily have been the next Waterworld or, what's that, Jupiter Ascending? Like, we've seen movies with big budgets like this that work on something like this and just completely fuck it up.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, but this is just gold. I think I might go see this again.
Yeah, no, when you first suggested, oh, let's go see Thor, I hadn't seen any of the trailers. I liked the original Thor, but I didn't like it enough that I went and saw the second one.
Yeah, he was kind of a dick in his own movie. Like, which he's supposed to be, but like to get your own movie, you don't want to be like the arrogant prick of your movie.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think they've really made him more likable through the character development he's been given through the other movies. Like, he always gets a nice... He always gets that nice revelation where he's like, yeah, you know what? Like, I'm not as strong as I thought I was. I'm not as smart as I thought I was. You know, I gotta fight for everybody, and not just like my big muscles.
Kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I think the first one also had some good comedy, subverting what he shows up at Earth and he doesn't realize what Earth is, and that Earth has no idea that Asgard is a thing and that Thor is a thing, and just the way he goes about like assuming everything. There was some good comedy in it.
Like him throwing
the
mugs on the ground. Some good ones in there. It's not anything as good as this movie, though.
Oh, no, not even close. And I'm really glad that you convinced me to go out and watch it, because if I hadn't, I probably wouldn't have ever watched it, or if at least not for like a couple years.
Mm-hmm. Another interesting thing about this movie is that I don't think that you needed to see Maybe the first one, but you certainly didn't need to see the last movie to understand where this movie is headed.
Mm-hmm. And I think the only thing is the whole Loki bit that you're talking about, because I hadn't seen Dark World, so I had no idea that Loki was posing as Odin. I was like, why? I was just thinking, why is Odin being such a dick? What's going on here? Something's off.
But there's still some good, like, you still get the reveal for it, right? So it's like, it doesn't keep, if you didn't see the other one, you still understand what he's doing. It's like, ah, it's the God of tricks, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're on this junk planet, because Hela kicks them into junk world, and Thor gets picked up by a Valkyrie. I can't remember her goddamn name.
She's just the Valkyrie.
Okay, the Valkyrie lady. The last Valkyrie. And she sends Thor to the Grandmaster, because the Grandmaster is all about this fighting pit that he runs in the cities. So people will, like, search this. This planet's like a big garbage dump. There's a bunch of wormholes that just shoot garbage down at the city. So, like, people that are lost and stuff out in space get tossed to this planet. And the people there kind of comb through it like professional garbage men. And somebody gets Thor, this Valkyrie, and brings her to Jeff Goldblum, who just, I think Jeff Goldblum's made a career of the last 25 years of just playing Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, he's full Goldblum in this role.
Yeah, he definitely does not give a fuck. Like, he's very prissy, very nonchalant. And so Goldblum.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
He's got this stick that melts people. That's one of the first things he does when he sees Thor. He's like, he melts the guy. He's like, ew. I'm getting it on my shoe. Oh.
So Goldblum. Yeah. And he just calls it the melting stick, too.
Yeah. I don't need the melting later stick in the right film. Now.
I don't need the... Why are you giving me the melting stick? This is not a capital crime.
And Loki's already been there for 3 weeks or some shit, because time works differently. And Thor's like, hey, get me out of here, man. Talk to this guy. Like, Loki's like, nah, dude. See ya. Sorry.
Yeah, Loki's already wormed his way in.
Yeah, just hanging out. Not a prisoner or anything. Just having a drink. So obviously Thor's going to be in the gladiator arena. Because we know, guys, the Hulk's in this movie.
See, I had no idea.
You didn't see... How did you not see any trailer?
I didn't watch any trailers for this movie. I didn't see a single trailer, which ultimately just added to the enjoyability for me, because everything was a great surprise.
I wanted the next, this progression of Marvel movies I've been so excited for, because they're going towards the best stories in the, out of these comic books, like Planet Hulk and Thor the Unworthy and stuff. They're getting into really interesting territory, like not shit that's been done over and over and over again. You know, like we have fucking three different Spider-Men. We've got like 8 movies in the last 10 or 12 years or something like that. And it's always running over.
Been quite a few. We had Sam Raimi's trilogy. Yeah,
and it's always redoing the Uncle Ben. It's always redoing the fucking Green Goblin. Like, I don't give a fuck about the Green Goblin anymore, dude. I had one trilogy. I want to move on to something else. I want it to be interesting in some other way. Like, you can't just make the same story for these heroes again. And what I was really excited for this one is that they're going to be facing Thanos, which is a group of 30... heroes at least going against this guy, and that we've never seen before. It's a completely new concept. Nobody's ever done the amount of movies that these guys have done to get here. Like, it's going to be a kind of event of maybe not our lifetime, but of this age group. They'll remember this as a thing that they lived through. They'll be like, yeah, man, like they made like 30 fucking movies with the same actors. It was really crazy. And I think it might become a little bit more normalized, but still really interesting.
Yeah, they're pumping them out like crazy.
But they're also really good. Like, guys like Taika Waititi are getting shots at it. They're giving really interesting directors the reins to these movies, because they want them to be... they want the visuals to be fantastic. They want the writing to be fantastic. They want you to... But they want you it to be like an all-ages thing. So it's like the Disney heyday when they were pumping out The Lion King and shit. I think Marvel is them right now for... for what people want to see.
And that's
the whole family.
It's perfect because Disney owns Marvel Studios.
Yeah. Disney's just the fucking rich like uncle that comes in. It's like, yeah,
Disney's killing it.
That's a funny thing you did there, Marvel. Do you mind if I buy that, your whole everything you got? Cool. Yeah, that's fine.
Here's a few $1 billion.
Pop a Disney logo on that shit, buddy.
Oh, Lucasfilms will take that too. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Every good movie ever. It's ours now. We made it. But I hope they don't shit. I think they're going to shit on the Star Wars franchise, though.
You think so?
I don't know.
I've been enjoying them.
I don't like what they're doing.
Rogue One was great.
Jedi stuff. Like, they're getting rid of Jedis. Rogue One was pretty good. It was pretty good.
You don't like the idea that they're trying to get rid of Jedis?
I don't think that. I don't think they know what they're doing. I think they're just...
Yeah, but it ultimately goes back to the prophecy from the original trilogy that Luke would bring balance to the Force. And so I think that's his way of bringing balance to the Force, because as long as there's people being trained to be Jedis, you're going to have people turning to the dark side and being the Sith. So
yeah, but
it's that yin yang. You can't have one without the opposite. So if you get rid of the Jedis, you're also getting rid of the Sith. I think that's where,
are you sure,
where the last Jedi is coming from. That's my prediction. That's the way I'm looking at it.
People are going to be bad no matter what. Those Force shit.
Yeah, they're going to be bad, but they're not going to be bad with the powers of fucking Jedi.
Luke's overall, like, what does a Jedi do that's so crazy anyway? Who gives a fuck? I'd rather be fighting Sith than just be eating tasteless porridge. Like, that's what Luke's whole thing is. Like,
all right, tasteless porridge.
We're not gonna do anything.
He goes to Tosche Station. All right, he goes to Tosche Station, pick up, you know, the odd power converter.
Yeah, if we do nothing, then the Sith can't do anything because the Force is balanced. So as long as we stay here eating this tasteless porridge, they have to do the same thing. That's the fucking stupidest. Like, that's not.
There's still adventure to be had in the galaxy. You can be a smuggler. You can be a bounty hunter. You can.
Yeah. So eventually, those guys will be doing.
But there's not going to be people blowing up planets.
Okay. The fucking Sith did not invent the Death Star, dum dum.
No, but you can blow up planets with the Force. You can blow up stars with the Force.
Since when?
Since when? Darth Revan, motherfucker. That's since when? Old Republic shit.
Yeah, that stuff's not even canon anymore, dude.
But the Force is still canon.
Yeah, but it's not blowing up planets in the movies, so suck it.
Okay, in A New Hope, Darth Vader makes a comment about the power of the Death Star is nothing in comparison to the power of the Force.
Fuck.
So it's blowing up a planet with a
gun. Darth Vader's a deluded old...
Nothing. No way, because Darth Vader knows his shit, man.
Fuck all. Look at his stupid suit. He looks like a big garbage can.
Stupid suit. Well, he also kind of looks like a robot Nazi with that helmet.
No, I think that's what they're going for sure.
Oh, totally. Definitely.
Anyway, this is not the podcast about...
this is Thor Ragnarok / the Star Wars podcast.
Yeah, I guess so. Fuck, I don't want to be those guys, dude. Not everything has to go back to Star Wars. We gotta not do that ever again. I hate those
well,
guys.
It was relevant. We were talking about Marvel or Disney buying up all the good stuff. So it was relevant.
So. All right, so we're now at the point in the movie where Thor and spoiler alert, the Hulk are now in a battle to the death. And you get that beautiful moment from the trailer where he's like, I know him, he's a friend from work.
See, I'm glad I didn't watch the trailer because that was so funny. That was the first time I'm hearing that, and it's hilarious.
But that's why this movie's going to make like $600 million is because people need to see that the Hulk and Thor are going to fight.
Yeah, he's a friend from work. I love that. And I love his helmet, the throwback to the comic book Thor.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was a throwback to the Thor's helmet. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I guess because he's got the wings.
Thor has the little wings on the side, yeah.
Yeah. The whole Hulk storyline in this movie was pretty awesome, but also a little bit like left unexplained. So I wonder if that's going to come in through the next big Marvel movie that the Hulk, why he's doing this or whatever.
Like, yeah, how the fuck he got there?
Yeah, well, we know how he got there. I took a... You didn't see Age of Ultron. See, you have such a fucked up background for these films. Like, tell...
Yeah.
Like, you haven't seen Avengers 2. You haven't seen the second Thor. You haven't seen Doctor Strange or Ant-Man.
I have not.
Seen none of the Captain Americas.
No. And that's something I really need to watch the Captain America.
So you have no movies. Idea. You have no idea what the fuck is going on at all.
I know it is hilarious, and that's all I need to know.
Wait, have you seen the Guardians of the Galaxy?
No comment.
Holy fuck. You make me sad.
I haven't been watching the Marvel movies.
You've been rewatching The Office or something instead of watching them. Like, stop watching reruns. You know, everybody does a certain amount of rerun watching in a year. Just next time you're going to watch a rerun, watch something new for fuck's sakes.
The only shows I watch reruns of is Rick and Morty. That's the only show. And I've watched all of Breaking Bad twice. Every other TV show I watch is always new.
Well, start watching the Marvel shit.
No, this movie has actually convinced me to go back and check out definitely Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers 2. Have you seen Homecoming? Is it good?
Yeah, it was really good. Okay, they're getting better, man. I think every movie that they make, they're getting better. Like,
I don't know why I never saw Avengers 2, because I really liked the first one.
Avengers 2, I would say, has been the worst one so far.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you're not selling it. You're not doing a good job of selling me on it.
It's not like a terrible movie, but of all the other movies that we just mentioned, I would say that's the weakest one of the bunch.
Okay. And you were saying Doctor Strange was really good, yeah, too?
Specifically for the visuals. It's just fucking gorgeous.
Maybe I will watch that tonight, seeing as though it's on Netflix.
All right, so Thor is... We are just not talking about this movie anymore. Thor is unworthy. So he doesn't have his hammer, and he's still pretty good at fighting, but like his morale is low, and he's fighting the fucking Hulk. And I mean, anybody fighting the Hulk would be pretty like outgunned. It'd be like fighting the Rock in real life, but the Rock wants to kill you.
Or George St. Pierre.
That's so topical. George St. Pierre is nothing like the Hulk. Or Sapier would just put you in a little arm bar.
He would beat the shit out of us.
No,
he'd just
put you in a wrist hold and let go. George St. Pierre
is a boxer too, though, isn't he? I'm pretty sure he's a boxer.
Yeah, but he doesn't win from boxing.
Yeah. That's a good point.
That's what I never liked watching him. That thing where he dominated like 6 fights in a row in the UFC. Like, oh, sweet. George is going to get up, put the guy in guard, and just sit there till the end of the match. I saw when he fought Michael Bisping, and he kept trying to get him to tap with the armbar, and Bisping was just letting his fucking arm like pretty much snap. Just wouldn't tap.
Some of those are savage, man.
I think he was double jointed
but to tap out.
I think he was double jointed the elbow, because like a regular human being, if their elbow had got to that like. George couldn't
angle.
George couldn't pull it down anymore. He was literally like the fucking thing should have broke, but he just had too much
game. Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, back to the fuck. It's a movie.
Welcome to Ron Commentatos episode 7, the attention deficit disorder episode, where we talk about UFC and wrestling and Marvel, Thor, Star Wars.
You're making it worse right now.
That Donald Trump, man. He's
Jesus Christ. Okay, so he gets punched in the face by the Hulk, and it like unlocks. He sees Odin for a second. He sees a couple flashes of Odin, and then he gets the power of the God of Thunder back. So his eyes are all like, he goes Super Saiyan basically, and then he starts kicking the crap out of Thor all over the place.
No, without the hair, because they gave him a haircut, which is really strange seeing Thor without his hair.
I think he looks better. He looks cool.
Yeah, but he looks less Viking though.
Yeah, but he's still like super badass. Yeah, I can believe that he reminds me of Russell Crowe in Gladiator. I think that's why I liked it so much. I was like, yeah, Russell Crowe.
Okay. I see where they went with that. I love who gave him the haircut too. Stanley cameo giving him the haircut.
I don't know about the Stanley cameos anymore. He seems so fucking stoked. Like just to bug people in the theater.
That one was
like,
I'm
still here. I'm still alive. Like,
I'm still alive, as geriatric as I am.
But he's not trying to blame it at all.
Like, the meta of the joke, though, because it's the guy who created the comic cutting his hair, because he's like, haha, I can do whatever I want. I made you. I'm going to cut your hair for this one. Yeah,
but I'm just saying that they've got him so front and fucking center. Like, it's not like a little cameo where he's even trying to blend in at all. Like, he just fucking grabs the camera jackass style. Hey, look, I'm Stan Lee. Hey, whoa, I'm old.
Yeah, they might as well just, like, have the dialogue there. It's me again, Stan Lee.
And now I'm the barber.
Holy shit. Which one is this again? Is this the Spider-Man person?
The spider person, hello, it's me, Stan Lee.
This is Thor, the god of spiders.
My spidey sense is tingling, or I pissed myself. Dude, we have not got past the, like, we're 30 minutes ahead in the movie and we have not got past the fight. Thor gets knocked out by they have, like, this taser thing connected to his neck, because obviously, he would have kicked the shit out of everybody if he didn't have a taser thing.
Yeah, he almost beats the Hulk in the fight, and then Goldblum just, you know, intervenes like a
douche. Which is straight up badass, because I don't think we get to see Thor, like, flex his fighting prowess to the best of his abilities, like, in the other movies. I think this is the one where you kind of get to see he can go toe to toe with the Hulk, and the Hulk's borderline, like, the strongest guy in the fucking, in all the movies so far. He would kick the shit out of anybody.
Yeah. He is the strongest Avenger, as we find out later in the film.
But yeah, so him almost going toe to toe.
I love the Hulk. Amazing. I love the Hulk jokes that he's, like, cracking. The Hulk jokes. Tiny arms. You have tiny arms.
Little Avenger. Yeah, his dialogue was pretty awesome. Or, like, when he's like, we call you the stupid Avenger. The Earth does hate you. And the Hulk just, like, sulks. So what happens is that, as you guys know, because you watched the movie, is that Thor wakes up in the Hulk's, like, gladiator chambers. So he's got, like, this nice sealed-in room. He's got, like, a little spa and fake rock and shit in there. He's, like, having a little sauna.
He's got his little VIP room.
Like a big jaw, like a 20-foot jaw that he's just using as, like, a bedpost. And
we haven't really talked much about the Valkyrie character.
I mean, we can go for it. I liked her the least because it took so long to come around, but they did an okay job.
I wasn't talking about her character. She's quite something to look at, as far as I'm concerned.
Wow, you are so chivalrous. Quite something to look at.
Chivalry's dead.
Hot.
Chivalry's hot dead, body. Keegan.
She's a cutie with a booty.
She's a hottie with a body.
Good for you for not being racist, Darren. All races are beautiful. True.
She's also pretty funny, too. She has some good jokes.
Yeah, I didn't like the alcoholism. Actually, I was thinking.
No, you didn't? I like that. I dug it.
Well, she dropped the beer bottle, like, and it broke, and you heard the Foley artist had made a glass breaking insert. And I was thinking, like, oh my god, there's so many 5-year olds watching this show. Like, they're gonna think it's cool to, like, litter and pretend to be drunk and shit.
And to be drunk alcoholics. Yeah, I guess they also think it's kind of so it might be a little tasteless, but it's fun.
It's tasteless fun, just like you want.
Yeah. It's a little bit of taste.
Hey, I'm Stan Lee. I love alcohol.
Look at this beautiful Valkyrie who abuses her substances.
I'd like to abuse your substance. Ah.
Oh my. Stan Lee.
Yeah, she's a pretty, she's like the nihilist character that's going to turn it all around in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Very atypical.
Something I found interesting was that she was in on this secret. She knew the whole thing that Odin had covered up, essentially, about how he was kind of a shitty king before and he would just go and conquer.
I think that's why she didn't want to go back, was like, that's, you know, Thor's in. Let's skip to the, tell the people. Oh, Jesus Christ, I'm going to have to do so much editing. I feel like
Rick Sanchez over here?
Yeah, Jesus Christ. was flurbed.
Oh, Morty.
I mean, full disclosure, I am like somehow hungover today. I feel like shit. I went out and had like 4 pints last night, and I've just fucking like, I must have slept directly on my face and got brain damage or something. I feel like shit.
4 pints and a hangover. That sucks.
Yeah, dude. I don't know how that works. Maybe I got the flu or something. But anyway.
Maybe you got syphilis. You were talking about it earlier.
I love talking about syphilis. It's my favorite disease to talk about. Tell them about the change to like the Thor legend from, let's say, the comics and the one that they did for this book. Just break that down for people so I don't have to fucking talk anymore. Jesus Christ.
Sorry, what am I breaking down?
The firstborn daughter, etc., that nobody knows about.
Oh, Hela?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Well, it turns out that Thor was not Odin's firstborn, and she has an older sister named Hela. And Hela and Odin used to run around conquering shit like bloodthirsty Vikings, which is pretty fitting for Norse mythology. It's nice to know that Odin had that, I'm a Viking, and I'm just going to fucking kill and take, because that's what Vikings do.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Hela was more hardcore, more bloodthirsty than Odin, and she wanted to take it further and be even worse and more violent and more terrible. And Odin kind of had a change of heart, and he flips it around and says, you know, I want to be a good king now. So she tried to, I guess, kill him and take Asgard for herself. So she was locked away by her father. And they basically pretended like that history never happened, and
then he had
Odin is on his high horse going, oh yes, I'm a very fair and noble king, and I never have done wrong, and you're my firstborn, Thor. No, just kidding, you have an older sister, she's a crazy bitch, and we used to kill a lot of people for fun and take their shit.
Your armor is made out of baby skulls.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So the Valkyrie has to go. It was part of the team that was going to go lock Hela up.
Off a bitch.
Yeah, and yeah. We've actually seen by this point in time, Hela fucks up like 500 people at once in a street brawl in Asgard, like for fun. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, she probably killed them all in one go. She's not fucking around.
Like, yeah. She was fucking around, letting them hit her and shit. She can also, she gets stabbed like 3 times through the guts in this movie and just takes no. She doesn't give a shit. Do you see that?
Oh, yeah. She's hard as fuck.
She's like invulnerable or whatever. Like, it goes straight through, and then the knife gets pulled out, and she's just not bleeding or anything. It's fucking nutty.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the Valkyrie had to go in with all the other Valkyries and try to take her down.
I love the shot. The huge shot of the Valkyries coming through the clouds and all the golden light descending down upon Hela. It's like this epic sort of biblical style.
Yeah, and they're riding shot Pegasus.
So badass.
So like it's a futuristic society, but they're not riding like their space ships or anything. They're riding legit like Pegasus.
Yeah.
And then the shots of the horses falling out of the sky is just like Jesus Christ.
And so of course Hela slaughters all of the Valkyrie, and except for one, she gets away and somehow ends up on this junk planet selling people for cash.
Like a
And she drinks to forget her pain from her past.
I drink to party.
I drink to get riggedy riggedy wrecked, son.
Get swifty.
Take off your pants. Shit on the floor.
Okay. All right, Jared. It's something Rick and Morty sing along.
Get swifty. Oh my god, that's a genius idea for children. Rick and Morty sing along.
Yeah, that's not gonna fuck up kids. So where are we? Like, Thor's gotta escape to get back to his homeworld to stop Hela, because Hela's fucking shit up in Asgard. She tries to recruit the Hulk, and Hulk's like, nah, dude, I'm going to stay here. Like, I'm the toughest guy ever, and I need to fight stuff. And the Valkyrie, is also like, nah, screw you. Like, I'm an alcoholic, and my Pegasus died. I'm not going back there. And Loki's like, nah, dude, like, I'm a hologram right now. You're throwing rocks through me. It just doesn't care.
Did you think I would actually come here? It's disgusting.
And then
there's trash everywhere.
And then finally, they get them all to get on board. So we're setting up for the big fight. Fight the Ragnarok. The Ragnarok that Thor stopped earlier in the movie is actually still happening.
Cue silence.
Yeah,
but Ragnarok's coming back in a big way. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I feel like just carry it, Darren. Just take it away. I can't do this.
I'm taking it away. I can't do this right now. I had 4 pints last night, man. So Thor escapes out of Hulk's window like a 16-year-old girl on the run. And he meets up with Loki, and Loki's kind of aiding in his escape. And they have this little brotherly scene in the elevator where Thor's kind of breaks it down. Yeah. You know, we should just go our separate ways. You're always going to be the god of mischief. And, you know, that's kind of shitty because you could be so much more, but that's who you are and this is who I am. And, you know, maybe we should just accept it for what it is.
Dude, I know what's going on. I ate an edible like an hour and a half ago.
Oh, and you forgot. So you're not hungover, you're just high. You just ate a pod cookie. Or a pod brownie. Oh my god. That reminds me of a great joke that I like a Vancouver comedian was talking about edibles. She said the fun thing about edibles is you eat one and doesn't kick in for a while, so you eat another one and then the ambulance comes.
It's so true. I hate that. Like, you smoke a joint, you eat an edible, and then like an hour and a half later you're like, oh my god,
I'm too high. I've never gotten high off of edibles. I smoked pot for 11 years, like chronically every day for 11 years, and I never ever got stoned. Like, really stoned from eating edibles.
I don't have, like, a uniform dissolve time for them. So, like, sometimes it'll start after, like, 40 minutes. Sometimes it'll start after, like, an hour. Like, I just ate 3 pounds of lasagna. So,
I don't know. Listen, so, you ate a pot cookie and then 3 pounds of lasagna, and you think the 4 pints of beer that you drank yesterday are making you feel shitty right now? Maybe it's the 3 pounds of cheese and tomato sauce sitting in your stomach that is making you feel shitty right now.
So anyway, Hela's like looking for the sword,
for the Bifrost. Heimdall has it. They're faster than light.
She's like, travel. She's like, I gotta system. Go fuck up like more than 9 realms. Like, I gotta go fuck up every realm.
Yeah, 9 realms. She's you know what, this is kind of reminding me of Wallace. It's like 9 offward colonies.
Oh yeah.
We need parallel there. I think it might even be the same. I think it's it might also, be the same number.
Might also be like Donald Trump. Xenophobic.
He's hugely xenophobic. Huge. China.
Have you seen that Alec Baldwin thing where he's like, I'd like to apologize. I'd like to apologize for my actions. And like, sir, are you trying to say? Are you trying to say apologize? I'd never do that. I'd never do that.
Apologize. I gotta see this. Holy shit! Oh, I gotta see this.
This is getting worse by the minute, boys.
It's so good. It's okay. Good. It's fine. We're good.
We might have
good.
To do this. We're gonna have to do a part two.
Part two is as long as we release part one, I'm down. Because this
give me 4 hours, right now. 3 hours, and then we'll do it again.
It's 4 hours with Thor Ragnarok. So Hela is looking for the sword to the Bifrost, which was taken by its original operator, and I can't remember his name. We'll just call him Idris Elba.
Heimdall.
Because that's who plays him. And this Bifrost thing is quite the piece of transit technology. I think Elon Musk needs to get on this. Start doing some fucking research. We need one of
Darren,
these.
Darren, stop doing your little bits. It's like, and the movie anyway. Has crawled forward 5 seconds. And let's talk about something else. We gotta keep up with the plot, Darren.
I'm on like 4.5 hours sleep here. Okay, I'm sorry.
It's fine. Maybe I'm just jealous.
So this guy, Idris Elba, has all of the civilians of Asgard hold up in this
apparently
old building
Asgard
trying
has
to protect
population
them.
Like 400, according to how many people Heimdall saved.
It's pretty small. Like, if you look at it, it's just this little disc. It's just this little floating disc. This is, I think this is where the flat worlders get their theory.
You know
from.
What's weird? Darren, stop going into pop culture over and over again. You fucking little current events every 20 seconds. Fuck.
I can't help thinking about it.
Try to put Brett Ratner, the allegations in here. But what I'm trying to say is the population of Asgard that's like 400 people also has a bunch of like black and Asian people. Apparently they've somehow like genetically diversified as much as humans up on this like little disc.
On this like little tiny disc. That's hilarious. Nice Darwinism. Bit.
Oh, thank you.
That's a good point. I'm not doing a Brett Ratner, right. Okay? Maybe I'll do a Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein?
Weinstein. I don't know how to say it. Weinstein or Weinstein. Or maybe
it's probably actually not very funny. And I'm just
except for a paw cookie cooking.
Did we even measure this like a fucking 90-foot tall dog in this movie? When did you mention the wrong guy?
When did this become Game of Thrones? They got direwolves up in this motherfucker.
No, we legit made a big deal.
Fenris. He's Fenris wolf.
We made a big deal about the rock guy that's from New Zealand. I haven't even fucking talked about him yet.
No, we mentioned Korg, okay. But not as much as we should have, because he's really I think he's my favorite part of the whole film.
Thor has just lost an eye in this fight scene. We're so far behind.
Oh, I love the son becomes his father.
Yeah.
With the dead eye.
Also, like I didn't know what the fuck was like. He has no eye for the rest of the fucking movies, I guess. Like he's done.
Yeah, he's just gonna be rocking the eye patch.
I hope when he goes Super Thunderlord on it though, like he flicks it up and like he's got a lightning eye. That'd be cool.
It's still the blue light is still emanating. From his skull.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, we just got to the second part where it does the
Yeah, the immigrant song kicks back in.
So Hela was just dominating him. She stabbed him like 5 times and like cut out his eye. She's like, "You suck."
Yeah, and she's just playing with him too. She's making him watch out.
Yeah.
The palace and like watch Asgard burn, motherfucker. Yeah,
classic villain thing. And then Thor has probably the coolest Thor fight scene of any movie. Maybe the coolest fight scene in like many Marvel movies. He talks to Odin in his dead sleep, and then he explodes with a giant thunderbolt and kind of drops to the ground and gets up, and then all of a sudden he's sparking arcs of electricity 30 feet around him, and he just starts like force punching people with lightning. All across the bridge, the Asgard bridge they're fighting on.
I think, I think this is the moment that the immigrant song kicks in. Is when he's slow-mo lightning
like dropping
man on,
down.
Back onto the bridge.
There's an army of undead crawling on top of each other to like reach up to him. It's like a painting. The David and or man and God, you know, the one where they touch fingers. It's like a motif like that. And he's descending toward them in slow motion with the immigrant song playing, and they're like all reaching up, and then he just fucks them all up. Really badass. Yeah, like, I'm not a tough guy by any stretch of the imagination, but watching a movie like this, you just feel like kind of sense of adrenaline. Like, holy fuck, that would be so badass. Like, imagine if I did that. Like,
imagine if I was Thor.
You'd have a good voice for it, Darren.
Would I? But I don't have the Hemsworth musculature.
It's not quite deep enough. I didn't like the bald guy in this movie.
Scourge?
Yeah, Scourge was a douchebag. Even though he like kind of came back at the end, I was like, fuck you, Scourge.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, we kind of established right off the bat that he's kind of a dirtbag because he's using his extremely important job on Asgard as a means to get laid. Like, oh, look at how important and awesome I am. Look at all my stuff.
Look at my M16 machine guns, baby.
I think we'd all do that, but it's the fact that he's also incompetent. So yeah. Not only is he a dickhead, but he's not even good at his job.
Yeah, exactly. And then he immediately yields to Hela and becomes her little bitch lackey. But I think he managed to just barely managed to redeem himself, because he ultimately sacrifices himself to save the whole thing from going to shit.
Yeah. Except I'm sure somebody would have, whatever, fuck that guy. And then we get this cool scene. So Thor has decided to start Ragnarok, because Hela gets her power from Asgard.
From Asgard.
Ragnarok's the destruction of Asgard. So he's like, oh, well, if there's no Ragnarok, or if there's no Asgard, then Hela's going to be a little wimp. And that pits, the final fight isn't even between Thor or the Hulk or any of those guys. They're literally in a spaceship watching out the window as the Norse version of Satan, like a giant flaming devil guy with horns, fights Hela, who's just like a regular sized person but just can't die. And then they fucking have a 2-second showdown, and he just stabs her into oblivion. And the whole planet explodes. End of the movie.
Yeah, he's pretty hardcore. He's definitely getting his rocks off on destroying Asgard. And it's kind of funny because he's like, Asgard, I'm destroying you. It's like, yeah, we know. That's
it's
why
we're empty.
We,
the whole fucking
you.
City's empty. He's like, tremble.
The place is empty. Yeah. You're doing exactly what we want you to do. You're helping us. We want you to do this.
And I liked that.
Like a little Hulk almost like kills him. They're like, no, yeah, God damn it, Hulk.
Starts punching on the giant crown that kills him if it falls off.
Hulk monster. But it's a monster.
I can't think.
When we get my favorite joke, I think, of the whole movie, when Korg is watching Asgard get destroyed.
Oh, he's dead.
He talks about the foundation. Oh, yeah, the Meek joke.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Meek's dead. I stepped on him earlier by accident. I've just been carrying around all day because I feel so guilty. And then he starts moving. Oh, Meek's alive, guys. He's still alive. Yay.
I guess that's the whole movie, guys. We kind of fucked this one up. The one thing that hard was not only the drugs, but it's hard to critique a film that you enjoyed at about a 10 out of 10 level. Like, there's parts that were kind of dumb. There's parts that were a little unnecessary. But at the same time, I didn't give a fuck because I was on like the best roller coaster of a Marvel movie ever. So I would just say 10 out of 10. Not a perfect movie, but for what it is, it's fucking amazing. It's perfect for what Marvel's trying to do.
Yeah, no, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like I said earlier, I wanted to go see Killing of a Sacred Deer, and you were saying, no, let's go to Thor. And so I caved. I was like, let's just go to see both. We'll go see Thor first. And it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. I was laughing my ass off the entire thing. The whole devil's anus joke was great. Yep. The humor was just really solid. It wasn't cheesy, shitty, standard action movie humor. Yeah. It was humor done by somebody who understands comedy and knows how to pull it off in a really special way. And he totally took that sense of humor that you see in Flight of the Conchords and in What We Do in the Shadows. I haven't seen the Wilder People?
Yeah, The Hunt for the
Lives of the Wilder People. Hunt for the Wilder People. Is that a comedy?
Yeah. Very much so, like an adventure comedy.
Okay, I definitely have to see that too, because if it's anything like what we do in the Shadows.
Sam Neill's in it.
Yeah, you were saying that's great, which is probably the reason why we got his cameo in this.
Yeah, he has a bunch of people from that movie in this movie.
I think that'll probably be the next movie I watch, Hunt for the Wilder People.
We could do it. We could do a show on
it. Let's do it. And I guess we're not going to be able to do Killing of a Sacred Deer anytime soon, because it's not playing in our garbage town.
No, it's not. Fuck you.
It's not Canada. Fucking. It's only playing in 13 cities across the country.
I mean, I get it though, Darren. The guys.
I don't get it. It's like
The Lobster. It's a horror is hugely film. Polarizing. A lot of people thought it was the worst.
Yeah, this
ever.
Movie isn't The Lobster though. It's a bit more of a traditional film. Yeah, it's the same director, but the story is a lot more traditional.
Hey, you know what? If you want to start a podcast called Darren's Shitty Opinions, then go ahead.
I thought I already did. I thought this
what we're doing. This fucking movie podcast, all right, Darren? Not everything's about your goddamn artsy fartsy goddamn.
It doesn't look. It just looks like a really dark psychological thriller. It doesn't look anywhere near as artsy fartsy.
Stop grinding your axe on our show. Stop grinding just your personal.
I'm not grinding my axe. I'm just saying that it is more of a much more mainstream appeal than The Lobster.
You don't know that. You gotta admit that. You don't know that. You haven't seen the movie.
The fucking movie's called The Lobster. That's it. And it's in the literal sense.
You finished?
Yes.
Are you going to add this movie to your DVD collection?
I think I actually am going to have to buy this.
I'm proud of you.
When it comes out. I'll probably pick up the steelbook because it's hilarious.
This might be one. You know what, guys? I like to steal everything. I like to steal movies on the internet. This is not binding in a court of law, but I like to steal movies on the internet. And I rarely pay for anything, but I would buy this one just because I think that I want to support monetarily this kind of work, which sounds so stupid, but it's true.
Well, I mean, if it's valid, though. I mean, obviously your $25 isn't going to go very far, but I think in principle, it works.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's let the people go eat their edible cookies. Guys, go.
Ding, ding, clan clash.
I don't even have a fucking outro. Let's just see you next week, guys.